down here, bro. It's a good picture. Good picture of you, Mr. President. Can I have one like that?
That's for Lieutenant Dashwood. He's got it.
Yeah, very good.
I mean, that's for a friend of Lieutenant.
No, but that's an excellent pose. I've not seen that.
Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
I will, sir. Thank you,
gentlemen. I'll see you at 10:30.
All right. Yeah. We'll be there.
Secretary McNamara is calling you again, sir.
President, General Wheeler and I are sitting here together. We just received a cable from Admiral Sharp making three recommendations with respect to our destroyer tracks and enemy action responses. I wanted to mention them to you with a recommendation. I've discussed this with Dean Rusk, and he and I are in agreement on the recommendation. Sharp recommends first that the track of the destroyer be shifted from 11 miles offshore to 8 miles offshore. This makes no sense to us. We would recommend against it. His purpose by shifting the track is simply to make clearer that we believe the 12-mile limit is not an effective limit on us. We think we do that adequately by sailing at 11 miles as opposed to 8. Secondly, Sharp recommends that we authorize the task...
What reason does he give for his 8?
Simply that it more clearly indicates our refusal to accept a 12-mile restriction. We think we've clearly indicated our refusal to accept a 12-mile restriction with the 11-mile limit. We see no need to change the track at this time.
Why? What other objections do you have?
It changes a program that shouldn't be changed frequently. These orders are very precise. The tracks are laid down very clearly. They go through the three command channels to get out there. This ship is allegedly to be attacked tonight. We don't like to see a change in operation plan of this kind at this time. And we don't think it achieves any international purpose, so certainly no military purpose is served by it.
All right.
Secondly, he recommends that the task force commander be authorized to pursue the attacking vessels in the event he is attacked and destroy their bases. In this case, it would
be... Wait a minute.
I've got a car. I can't hear him. I've got a real important thing to do.
Go ahead, Mac.
Secondly, he recommends that the task force commander be authorized to pursue any attacker and destroy the base of the attacker. In this instance, if he were attacked by patrol boats, it would mean that he would pursue the patrol craft into the shoreline, identify the base of the patrol craft, and destroy that base. Now, this is an action that we might well wish to consider after the second attack, but I think it would be inappropriate, General Wheeler agrees and Dean Rusk agrees, inappropriate to provide the task force commander that authority. There will be ample time for us, after a second attack, to bring this problem to your attention, and you can then decide how far you wish to pursue the attacker into his base area.
What objections do you have to pursue him?
With only the objection that if we give such authority, you have, in a sense, lost control of the degree of our response to the North Vietnamese. You don't know exactly what bases will be attacked, where they are in relation to population centers, how much force will be applied to attack them, when it'll occur. I personally would recommend to you, after a second attack on our ships, that we do retaliate against the coast of North Vietnam some way or other, and we'll be
what prepared. I was thinking about when I was eating breakfast, but I couldn't talk it. I was thinking that looks to me like the weakness of our position is that we respond only to an action, and we don't have any of our own. But when they move on us, and they shoot at us, I think we not only ought to shoot at them, but almost simultaneously pull one of these things that you've been doing,
right,
on one of their bridges or something.
Exactly. I quite agree with you, Mr. President. I'm not sure that the response ought to be as Admiral Sharp suggests.
Well, I'm not either. I don't know unless I knew what base it was and what
right.
It's confirmed, but I wish we could have something that we've already picked out and just hit about three of them damn quick right after.
We will have that, and I talked to Mac Bundy a moment ago and told him that I thought that was the most important subject we should consider today, and be prepared to recommend to you a response, a retaliation move against North Vietnam in the event this attack takes place within the next 6 to 9 hours.
And we now we better do that at lunch. There's some things I don't want to go in with these other. I want to keep this as close as I can, so let's just try to keep it to the two or three.
I will be prepared to do so at lunch.
All right.
Now, thirdly, Sharp recommends that the task force commander be authorized to engage in hot pursuit beyond the 11-mile limit, in as far as the 3-mile limit, which we accept as the definition of territorial waters. At present, the instructions to the commander are, do not pursue an attacker closer to shore than 11 miles. Sharp recommends that 11-mile limit be shifted to 3 miles. I've talked to Dean about this. He agrees as far as air pursuit is concerned. Pursue by air as close as 3 miles to shore. Do not pursue by sea closer than 11 miles. His reason for differentiating sea from air is that we can always argue that the air was further out than 3 miles, and he's concerned about taking the ships in as close as 3 miles to shore. I'm willing to accept his point for a different reason, however. I don't think ship pursuit between 11 miles and 3 miles would be effective anyhow, because our ships travel at about 27 knots and these patrol boats travel at 50 knots, and the possibility of a ship being effective in that 11 to 3 mile area is not very great. The air power is likely the most effective power anyhow, and I would therefore recommend that we accept Sharp's recommendation but limit it to air.
All right, okay.
All right, fine, thank you.